Stand together tonight, if you would. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of Revelation tonight. Revelation tonight, chapter number 2. And it is good to be in God's house this evening. Man, I'll tell you what, I'm like the brothers testified. I could drive on back home and say, I've been to church.
Amen.
Them ladies get doing that old-fashioned shouting around me. I get my crank turned. I just like that. You know, I thought about it. My daughter's in college. She's playing golf, and she got to come home and be with us today. And she's around a lot of people unsaved. She was telling me the other day, she said, Dad, I got some friends going to be coming with me, but I'm trying to get them prepared. Yeah. She said, praise God, they're going to come in. All of a sudden, it's going to get on, and they're going to think, what in the world is your daddy? He must be a lunatic because they don't know. But I'm glad I'm comfortable being around this, aren't you? And I want you to pray for her. God's letting her be a great testimony. And I appreciate how God's using her. And I had a golf coach the other day told her, I said, look, we ain't going to plan nothing on Sunday. We know as far as practice because you like to go to church. She lives about an hour and 20 minutes away. So they letting her get to church. So we praise the Lord for that. Most of the time she has to travel some, but I praise the Lord for that. It's good to have my wife. One fellow told me he's coming in tonight. One lady said, well, I'm glad to see you got a wife. We've heard you talk about him, never seen her. And I don't let her out much. But anyway, it is good to be back. And boy, I appreciate what God's doing, preacher. Man, you can just sense that. And I appreciate what the Lord's doing. I like when I go to a meeting and I've never really changed my mind about what I'm preaching. I mean, I pretty much know when I got here, sat during service, and well, this is right. And I get nervous when I preach around Brother Rackley. Because he's smart, man. And I, you know, don't let that, you know, he's a country preacher. But this man knows this book. And he can preach this book. Somebody asked me why back. My burden's revival. Somebody asked me why back. So who do I believe is God using revival in this country? I said, look, there's no doubt. There's one man that I believe God's got his hand on for his revival. I'm talking about revival for the local church. There's some Jubilee guys that's got that touch for that. Brother Arthur, I don't believe he's a greater exhorter in America. And I appreciate that. But your pastor, when it comes to the burden of revival, has that. And I appreciate him. I love him. And I like being around men of God. It keeps me straight. Amen. I need to be kept straight. And I appreciate that. Is that all you asked me to say? That was it, right? Okay. All right. I thought I covered it all. And I want to make sure I had a note. I was just making sure I read. Amen. Boy, isn't it good to be saved tonight? Amen. Say, preacher, what are you doing? I'm just trying to wait a minute before I get going. I'm nervous, man. I'm trying to wait. I do this a lot, but when I get in a place like this and want something, I don't want to miss it.
Yeah, we want something.
Amen. I believe some of you come with your cup turned up tonight. Amen. You won't make me nervous. You have a time. It's all right with me. I like it. And dear brother, just got here from Florida. I'm headed to Florida to preach the next week. But praise the Lord, at least I am in a good church now. I'm looking forward to that. Be down in Tampa. So pray God will give us a good time in the Lord next week. And then, hallelujah, just see God do something down in their Jubilee. All right. Revelation chapter 2, if you would, verse number 12. I want to read down a few verses. Revelation 2:12. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name and hast not denied my faith. Even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I found a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing God says I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now, just before you seated it, no doubt, tonight we are living in an unusual day. I believe if there's ever been a need for revival, and I know we've always had a need for revival, but I believe there's ever been a need for revival, it's now. Someone asked me, I'm a revivalist, someone asked me, do I believe we can see a national revival? I don't know. And I'm not saying God can't. But there's so much religion in our day that I don't know. But I'll tell you this. I know we can see pockets of old-fashioned revival that can spread in our schools and our workplace and get around us. And I believe if there'd just be a crowd somewhere that'd get tired of being sick and tired, we could see revival.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But I believe the reason that in fundamentalism, and that's all I know, but I believe the reason that we don't have the touch like we once had, I believe is because we have backed away. We have changed. I preached in some 30 churches last year, and when you go, you find out just because it says Independent Baptist doesn't mean they're still preaching or still standing. And we've lost that old time power. I believe we're trying to cut wood without an axe head. And so you pray tonight. I want to preach on this thought. You'll see where I'm going as the message goes. Message God gave me just a few weeks ago. Burdened my church about where you are preaching the same way we are. And God's given me this burden. I want to preach tonight on open-minded, suddenly blinding. And I trust God will help us tonight. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you tonight for a great number on Friday night. To see the house of God full tonight. To experience what we have felt tonight. Lord, I was talking to you this morning. God, I just want to be used. Tonight's all I don't care about making a name for myself. I'm not interested in a show. But Lord, I'd love tonight for you to use me, God, just for a few moments. Lord, I thank you for the precious young people. Lord, I know many of them in Christian homes, but I'm sure some of them could have been somewhere else tonight. But Lord, I'm glad they're in God's house on a Friday night. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Boy, their singing was a blessing to me. Lord, I thank you for this dear man of God and this church and this community. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would make it a lighthouse on a hillside, that this lost and dying world could come to know Jesus. Now, Father, have your way in the service. I pray not only will you touch folk in this service, but God, I pray that God, you touch my family and help us that we could ever be what you'd have us to be. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to preach in this great pulpit for this great man of God. Father, help me to be a blessing to his people. Lord, I know they hear the book. Help me to be a blessing to them. In Jesus' name I pray. And all God's people said,
amen.
You can be seated. For just a few moments tonight, I want to deal with a subject matter that's heavy on my heart. I get called many times about preaching in a Jubilee meeting or a camp meeting, and no doubt I enjoy that, but literally, that is really not my heart. I have a Jubilee at my church, and I love that meeting, and I believe God's people need to be encouraged. I'm really enjoying preaching these Tuesday night meetings that people have, and these terrific Thursday meetings, and then Fridays, preacher, like you're having it. No doubt this keeps the fire going and excited, but I want to say this tonight. We really, in our heart, need to get a burden for revival in our day. I'm not talking about for revival for the guy down the road or on the other side of the pew. But I believe we need to draw a circle and get inside of that circle and say, God, start revival in my heart and stir me with old-time power. Now, no doubt you know about the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Someone asked me some time ago what age I believe that we're living in. No doubt it looks like the Laodicean age, no doubt, and the day we're living in today. I believe there's great application in all seven of these churches. And boy, there's so much preaching here. And I'm sure your pastor, like I have been through this before and preached this chapter and went on up till we got to chapter 4, verse 1, and we got out of there. Amen. And I believe it ain't going to be long, honey. We're going to get out of here, and I believe we're going to do anything for God. We better do it now. I preached a lot out of these chapters. But I never seen until a few weeks ago something here God gave me out of this chapter. I like it when God just kind of drops something on your plate. And so I want to give you some thoughts. I don't know, it'll be Jubilee, but hallelujah, it'll be the Word. I promise you that. I want to give you some thoughts that God's got on my heart. As you look at this chapter of the Bible, you notice that God is speaking to this church. And there's some things we got to get a hold of before we can even begin to go to the place He wanted them to go. I want you to understand that you and I have an awesome privilege tonight. And that is, and I'm going to say this, and I know it's not popular to say it anymore, but we have an awesome privilege to be in a Baptist church. I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. And I want you to listen to this tonight. I want you to know that I am not Protestant. I ain't never been a part of no Catholic church. I don't have my heritage from no Catholic church. I'm glad there's some old-fashioned Baptists and believers that died on the stake and burned in the fire. I'm glad there's a trail of blood that give you and I the right to stand here and hold up our Bible and believe in the fundamentals of the Word of God. I told my church a while back, I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to get up and try to water it down. I told them, listen, I've been what I've been doing now since I was 17 years old, started pastoring at 20, and I'm 47 tonight, and I've been doing what I've been doing for that period of time. I've come too far down the road to back off, turn around, or go the other way. Hey, if it got it done for Grandma and Grandpa, if it got it done for our heritage, if it got it done before, it'll still get it done now, and we gotta have revival. Amen. But I think before we can get into a few things here tonight, I think we need to look just a moment at this church at Pergamos. I want you to notice, if you would, verse number 13. Here's what the Bible says. I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, hast not denied my faith. Even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. I want to give you a few things tonight. I'll give you an outline. I like to alliterate it. It helps me keep up with what I'm doing. I want to talk to you first off tonight about this church. I want to talk to you about their past. I want to talk to you about their past. Hey, I want you to understand tonight, I know that Jesus is going to reprimand. I know that the Lord is going to say, hey, there's a few things that need straightening out. But He said, before I ever get to that, before we ever go any farther, I want to talk to you a little bit about your past. I want to tell you how proud I am that you stood for me. I want to tell you how glad I am that you lived for me. I want you to know I appreciate the past that you have done. Hey friend, listen, I want you to understand tonight, I am so thankful for those that kept the lights on at the house of God. Friend, when everybody else is trying to have their hip hop service, when everybody else is trying to cook a supper or they're trying to dance, I am so glad there was a crowd in my past. I'm glad there were those that did not lay their Bible down, did not change from a King James Bible, did not change our music. I'm glad there is still a crowd that believes in the old time way. And you know why you and I today are where we're at? Because somebody told you the line. Somebody stood for what's right. Amen. Hallelujah. I think sometime, and you know my ministry, you know that I try to reach a lot of young people, but I want to tell you something. I think sometime there's a crowd that we ought to not forget. I look around my church sometime. I see them gray-haired men of God. I see those saints of God. We're celebrating 50 years at Calvary this year during our Jubilee, and I think about it, I got two members of that church, a man and his sister-in-law. Her husband's in glory. His wife is in glory, and yet they still sit out there. Sometimes they come in stumbling. Sometimes they come in not feeling well. But for 50 years, he was a deacon in that church. Over 30 years, led the music. He's still as sweet as honey. Loves God. Backs the man of God. And I think about, hey, where would that church be? What would they be doing today if it hadn't been for them backlogs? Amen. It hadn't been for those that got on fire and stayed on fire. Amen. The church of Pergamos had a past. Some of y'all here tonight, if you've been in this a long time, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, if you've been around it, you ought to thank the Lord for it. Amen. Oh yeah, listen, you don't have any idea. Some people go to churches like this one and they have no idea what some people have to set in, some people have to deal with. But thank God somewhere down the line somebody got you around something. Somebody got you to a man of God. Somebody, you might not even liked it. You walked in and thought, what's he screaming about? What's he hollering about? What in the world is he so tore up about? Then all of a sudden, something got a hold of you. All of a sudden, the heartstring began to flutter. And you realize, hey, I believe it's real tonight. It's real. Thank God for a godly past. I'm going to thank God for my heritage.
Yes, sir.
Amen. For those of you that grew up in a fundamental church and independent Baptist church, I did not. I did not. I grew up in a convention church. I grew up in a church that was not like you're sitting in tonight. I thank God they had an old-fashioned preacher with a King James Bible that preached the Word of God on a Sunday night halfway down the aisle, gave my life to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for that. They sent me to a liberal school when God called me to preach. And the best thing to come out of that liberal school is sitting right over here beside of my daughter. She walked across the parking lot. I said what Adam said. Whoa, man, huh? And I promise you this. I tell you, and the Lord said, ask your wife. And in April, it's going to be 28 years. And praise God, it gets sweeter as the days go by. I like it. Amen. But I want you to understand, we got to have. So he said to this church, he said, you got a past. I want to thank you for your past.
Amen.
Amen. Then he secondly, notice this. Look in your Bible, if you would, in that same verse. He says that you sit, you're in a place where Satan's seat is. He said, not only do you have a past and even had a martyr, someone gave their life. But he said, you even sat where Satan's seat is. That was their place. If you understand where the church of Pergamos was at, we're located 65 miles north of Asia Minor. It was full of palaces and it was full of pagan temples. It was a place literally where they worshiped gods of all types of things. I'm sure you've heard of the god of Zeus if you know about mythology. And literally there were statues there to a god of Zeus. And it was vile and sexual sins and filth. And yet, here that church of Pergamos sat right in the middle of it all. Listen to me. He said, you dwell where Satan's seat is. Hey, no doubt tonight, you and I realize the kind of day we're living in. No doubt we realize as one state after another tries to walk sodomites up to judges and up in our churches. No doubt 1.85 million babies aborted in America. No doubt we have more problems. 100,000 teenagers probably today throughout America mess with some type of alcohol and many of them become alcoholics. No doubt that we have over half of the marriage. marriages in this country ending in divorce. No doubt we're living in a day where there's paganism, where there's vileness, where there's religion. No doubt we're living in a place today that's like that. I'm not going to get up here tonight and tell you tonight that things are better because they're not. I'm not going to stand up here tonight and tell you that we're having a revival in every school, that God's moving in every place, because that's not the case. But I want you to understand something. We've all got a place. God's put us in a place. God put us somewhere. You know what I'm saying to you tonight? Sitting right here in Rogersville, Tennessee, you got a place. Sitting right here in this community, you've got a place. God's put you in a place. And can I say this? I'd rather be in the place that God wants me to be than be anywhere else. And wherever I'm at and whatever place I'm in, I want to make sure I do right in my place. Amen. Oh, I hear it all the time. Brother Haslam, hard to live for God today. No harder to live for God today than it's ever been to live for God. You understand? I get so tired of hearing people make comments and say things about, oh, but you got to understand things are different today and we can't do it like we used to. I've had people to tell me that, and they say, preacher, folk won't come, and if they come, it'll scare them to death and all of this. But can I tell you something tonight? I believe that we need a place in the middle of this world. Friend, this world's on drugs and alcohol and doing what they're doing because they're looking to fill a void inside of their life. And that void will not be filled by an alcohol bottle or a beer can or drugs or sex. But thank God, I'm glad you and I know what to fill that void inside of their life. Somebody help me tonight. You and I better get in our place. You know what Jesus said to the church at Pergamos? He said, I've got you right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of it. He said, you're right here in the middle of all this mess. And by the way, that's a good place for a church to be. People ask me all the time, they'll say, Brother Haslam, you think y'all relocate Calvary? And the church has grown from 160 people in it. Folks started getting saved. Brother Radcliffe's been with us to some great revival meetings. And a few weeks ago, we saw 600 people come in on a Sunday morning. And we've seen God do something, save 5 teenagers in the last 2 weeks. And we praise the Lord. And I'm not bragging on me, because listen, part of that got done. I wasn't doing anything, sitting there watching. So it wasn't me. But what I'm telling you is where we're at. We're on the other side of the tracks. And the worst part of town. We don't have drive-by visitors. We have drive-by shootings. I mean, I'm telling you, man. You go across the railroad tracks, there'll be a wino walking over here. There'll be a drunk walking over here. There'll be a prostitute cutting down on the back road. I'm telling you, it's the worst part of town. Somebody said, Brother Haslam, y'all just bought some more land, I heard. I said, yeah, we bought about 4 more acres right beside us. They said, what are you going to do, build again? I said, yeah. They said, you're not going to move? I said, no. I said, I like it right here. Amen. I like it. You say, why? Because, buddy, them people, Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Hey, them people around me are what? Lord, have mercy. I wish somebody would help me. Hey, them people around me are what I would be if it had not been for the grace of God. But I'm glad, thank God, somebody had a place. Somebody had a place. Oh, yeah. You'd have been toting the bottle. You might have been going by with a wine bottle. You might have been stumbling down the street, but somebody stayed in their place. Some man of God was in his place. Somebody was preaching in their place. Somebody was doing what's right. Jesus said, I want to thank you for your past. He said, you got a good heritage. He said, I want to thank you that you've been in your place. When Jesus comes, there's one thing I want to do. I want to be in my place. Huh? People have asked me, said, Brother Hayes, if the Lord were to come, where would you like to be? Have y'all ever thought about that, where you'd want to be? If the Lord were to come, I've heard people say, I want to be in church. I don't want to be near church if the Lord comes. Well, that'd be a good place. I'm not saying that. I don't want, where my place is at, it's not where it could be near the church. Now y'all really interested, aren't you? Brother Chris, where you want to be? That'd be a good place to go up from church. It'd be good. But that's where I'd want to be, Jesus coming. I'd want to be doing a funeral of a saved person. And I'd love to get to the part when I turn over there to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm talking about old death been swallowed up in victory. And just as I'm getting ready to pray, all of a sudden the trumpet sound, God, give me time to holler, never mind. Amen, that's where I'd like to be. Amen. You say, preacher, what he said? I just want to be in my place. I want to be in my place. I've asked God to help me do that. So every time I do a funeral, I get excited and I stand out there. I'll be reading that scripture going. I'm going to get that never mind in. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, he said to the church of Pergamos, he said, you got a past. But he said, I appreciate you being in your place. I want to say to all of you that are part of this church, you teach a class, you sing in the choir, you fill your spots, you worship in the pew. Thank you for being in your place. Amen. Man of God, if you're here tonight and you're visiting another church, you're pastoring a church, thank you for being in your place. I guess we can refer to the place as the will of God. He said, I know thy works where Satan, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. You know what he's saying? This place is full of the devil. And yet there you are. Now, I've enjoyed shouting, but this thing's kind of going to go a little different here. You know, I'm not going to be a preacher trying to end on a high note, just make everybody feel good. I just want us to get what God wants to have tonight. I want to give you the third thing here. The third thing I want you to see, I want you to see their permissiveness. Their permissiveness. Now, I'm going to preach on this just a moment. Look back at it, if you would, in Revelation 2, verse 14. He said, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast dared them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel. Balak, and he said, before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. Now I like this next verse. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. Watch what God says. Which thing I hate. Don't you listen to me. Jesus said, I appreciate your past. He said, I thank God that you're in your place. He said, but you've got permissive. God checked me a while back. I'll be honest. I haven't compromised the book. I haven't compromised the standard in my church. But boy, God checked me a while back and said, there's been a few things you ain't touched on in a while. I hadn't thought much about it, but the honest truth was, I hadn't. And God burned my heart, and God said to me, you don't start touching on it, folks gonna start doing it.
You got that right.
I did a message last week in its entirety, Brother Rackley. God gave me a message in its entirety on the destruction of alcohol. You'd be surprised how many in Baptist churches. I'm telling you. Folks joining the mooses and the gooses and all kind of stuff. I ain't going to bow down to one person as my master, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we've got permissive. Don't you listen. We've got to the place where the things that brought us out of liberalism we're allowing. Hey, I'm telling you, hardest thing I've ever done in my life is not being a preacher, it's being a parent. That's tough. What's that? Got a manual Ford they got here. Amen. It's tough. Because you love your kids so much, you want the best for them. But at the same time, you got to set some things you can't move on. Right? And you can act spiritual all you want, but there'll come a place and a time when the devil will try to get you to move on. That's right. Now I praise the Lord. I thank God that God instills in us a desire to live for Him. But I think when we get permissive, we start allowing stuff. Can I get an amen? We get to the place. He said, hey, I love your past. I thank God you're in your place. But he said, you've got permissive. He said, you're starting to allow some Sunday school teachers in, ain't teaching the right stuff. I tell young men that preach in my pulpit when I'm gone, my guys that God's called to preach, I tell them this, if you don't think I'd say it, if you wonder if I'd say it, if you ain't sure, don't you say it. I said, because you won't say it but once. Say amen. Amen. Don't you ever get in the church and say, well, I know what the preacher believes, but this is what I believe. Huh? You don't have to agree with everything the man of God does. He don't even have to be a dictator, but he is a head tater. Say amen. Hey, and I want you to understand, if we're not careful, we'll get permissive. My daughter's in college, and you can feel however way you want to, and it doesn't bother me either way, but she's not in a Christian college. She's in a college playing golf, and she's around people that she's never been around. And it was a while back, a young lady approached her and said to her, are you homophobic? Well, the golf coach didn't even know what that meant. He had to Google it, but Danielle obviously knew what it meant. She told the girl, she said, and you know what that means, in our day, we're supposed to accept everything. Don't look at the floor, look at me. And by the way, listen, we got kids, and I won't name two huge Christian colleges in this country, but we got kids out of our church in them that are dealing with the same stuff in Christian schools. Permissiveness. The girl said, every time me and my friends come to the table, said, you and a friend of hers, y'all get up and move. And she said, I just wonder if you're homophobic. She said, and Daniel told her, said, let me just tell you. She said, I don't like it. I don't believe it's right. I believe it's wrong. I wasn't raised that way. And I want you to know that I'm not going to be around it. The girl said, fair enough. You know what happens to her? She gets shunned. We just won't be around her. Thank God. Amen. I'm glad. Say, what are you saying? I'm saying that somewhere down the line, we got to quit being permissive and say, you know what? I believe what I believe. I believe the Word of God, and I'm going to stand on what I believe. And if I have to stand alone, I'll stand alone. Amen. Bless my heart. Golf coach ain't even saved. He's a wonderful man. It's the only reason she's there. He's a wonderful man. He looked at her, and finally Danielle just told him. He said, what did they ask you about? She told him. He said, you're kidding me. I thought, how can you not see that? But anyway. And he said, and this is just one individual out of a bunch of wonderful people. And he said, you're kidding me. And he looked at her and he said, I hate that stuff too. He ain't even saved. Oh, here's what's starting to happen. She started writing papers, preacher, about the Chick-fil-A and how the owner of Chick-fil-A got saved and born again. So she got to write a paper in school about that. We had two teenagers die in our church last year, 18 years old, 16 years old. One of them died outside of our church, but his family's been a big part of my ministry. We buried two teenagers. Daniel got to write a paper about those two teenagers. The hardest teacher in the school, everybody hates, wrote on the bottom of the paper, and he began to deal with her heart about what Daniel's talking about the Lord. I have a teenager in a community college that had to take a religion class, a young lady. She had to take a religion class in the community college. And the guy teaches religion is just an agnostic. You know how it is. They teach all this crazy stuff. And anyway, they started teaching all this stuff to her. And of course, when he saw she had a King James Bible, his exact words to her was, "Oh, you're one of them." Now I want you to listen. She had to take a test in religion and had to answer answers that she didn't believe to get it right. So here's what she did. You just got to know her. I mean, she probably don't weigh 85 pounds soaking wet. She's real. I mean, my Lord, I bet her arms about that big. I mean, look, but Lord, she ain't afraid of nothing. Here's what she did. She went to the test and she answered all the questions right. And she's a tutor and probably Dean's List type student, very smart kid. And she goes through and she answers what he wanted. Then she put a parenthesis beside of each answer. And she said, "But here's what I believe." She said, "Hey, here's what you want, but here's what I believe." You say, "What did the professor do?" He gave her some extra points because she stood on what she believed and didn't back away. Friend, we cannot get permission. What's happened to us is we've got a past. And we're in the place, but we've got permissive. We have, preacher. I'm going to say this, and please don't misunderstand me. And I have to be careful about statements like this, but there's a lot of independent Baptist churches that all they want to be is entertained. They'll say things about this, about the preacher. He's so funny. And I'm talking about funny as in jokes funny. He's so funny. You have to make that clear today. Oh, they say stuff like this, you know. Oh, I love to hear him because he makes me feel so good. And I love preaching and helping folks feel good. I got no problem with that. But you get somebody up there, leather lung, wide open, hammering it like a M1611 and nailing it to the wall and preaching the truth. You can have a singing, they'll pack her out. I'm not talking about convention church. I'm talking about independent Baptists. And all of a sudden you say, "Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have some old-fashioned preaching. Hey, we want you to enjoy some preaching." Friend, I'm going to tell you what, we need somebody right back and preach the Word of God, and we'll not be permissive. I looked up a statement. Preacher, you're the kind of person who likes these statements. Here's what G. Morgan Campbell said. He believes that this permissiveness is. Here's the words. Watch this. Broad churchism. Broad churchism. Now don't misunderstand me. If you come to my church on Sunday morning, you'll see some people come in, you'll think, "Man, he ain't got no standards. Man, look at them folk. I can't believe they walk in like that." There's a whole lot of churches in lost people, independent Baptists, lost people can't even go in. Now I'm just going to tell you right up front, you can tag me what you want, but I'm not that way. I promise you this, those doors are open, I don't care how they come in. I ain't never pulled a fish out of a pond because I don't fish, but I've never pulled a fish out of a pond that came with tartar sauce, hush puppies, coleslaw, and french fries. You got to get it in the boat first, then you got to clean it, and then after you clean it, it'll get a whole lot better, but you got to do that. I say go to Rogersville, go to the worst place, get them in here, preach the Word of God to them, don't compromise, tell the truth, it'll change their lives. Hallelujah. Well, I just got one more thing. Usually I have 5 points, but I don't have a four. And I got one more thing. He said you got a past. How many of you thank God? God's giving your kids some heritage. I saw something the other week, preacher. I was in a meeting. And it got on like tonight. I mean, it was people shouting so loud, man. I mean, you know, you could have just blown a whistle. I don't even know if they'd heard it. It was on. And I was up on, I don't care, first 3 or 4 rows I was in, and I looked around me, and there was a kid asleep on the pew. Probably 3-4 years old in our sleep, maybe younger. And I looked at somebody with me, here's what I said. I said, you know why that youngin's sleeping during this service? The fellow looked at me, thought I guess I was going to say something about, oh, I might let him sleep. I mean, you know, we're talking about 3-4 years old, right? Tired, used to it. You know what I noticed a while ago? Them teenagers up here a while ago, y'all got shouting and hollering. I didn't see one of them panic. Somebody ought to be helping me about right now. Isn't it funny that the world thinks we're strange? They can't keep their britches up. They putting holes all in their face. They got 40 colors of hair. I mean, you can't tell a boy from a girl or a dog or anything else. And they look at us tonight and they think we're strange. Honey, I'll tell you why I'm strange. I'm just a pilgrim passing through. This world is not my home. Thank God it gets better farther on. Broad churchism. I like it, preacher. I feel what you're talking about. I can feel that preaching power. I stood in my pulpit last Sunday morning. I didn't know what to do myself. I didn't know what to do. It was so rich. I thought about just jumping around. I thought about just jumping. I didn't know what, just jumping in circles. I didn't know what. Lord, I was preaching this like it was going woo, woo, woo. I mean, it's just, you know what I'm talking about. Then I get up here tonight and y'all about to kill me. Of course, you're used to preaching. There's a fourth thing. I want to give it to you. There's a past. There's a place. There's permissiveness. But then there's a promise. Now, there's some good promises, but don't you look at this one. Look what he says. He says in verse number 16, he says, repent. Or else. He said, I will come unto you quickly. Everybody say I. Do you know who the I is? It's God. God said, I will come to you quickly. Watch it. Look back at it. He said, I will come unto thee quickly and will fight against them. Who's them? The ones that have been permitted in the church of Pergamos. What he's literally saying, and God showed me this, what he's literally saying is I'll come and I'll fight in your church against those and you for allowing those to come in. Literally, we could say it like this. I'll make sure that I'm against you instead of for you. And that's what's happened. We're operating so much in our fundamental churches without God's touch. We've got programs. We've got personalities. Do you understand? We have got to the place. We've got everything but power. Most Baptist churches don't even have birthing power. Listen, I've had churches around me tell me this past year they've had 600 or 700 saved and they're running 70. There's no birthing power. We got folk walking down front, chewing bubble gum, blowing bubbles, saying some prayer, and in a week you can't even find them, and you don't know where they are. Honey, when I got born again, God put something on the inside of me that I can't get rid of, and it's different, say amen. I get real tired of preaching in the First Baptist of the Deep Freeze, pastored by Jack Frost. You walk in, preach your guts out, and all they're interested in is leaving. Even the preacher's interested in leaving. Oh, Lord, I hope God don't show up, or hope none of them folk don't get emotional. Now, don't misunderstand me. I've been in some places where it wasn't testimonies. It was testabaloney. I've been in places where God was moving. The Sister Wiggledaw stood up. But Brother Bozo, you know, all of a sudden he gets them bragging on his past sin, then he brags on how wonderful he is now. Next thing you know, God's done just quit touching anything. So I understand that. I've been in a few of those. I've been in a few times where that's happened. And praise God. When that happens, man, I'm ready to go. When I don't mean sound bad, but I'm ready for cheeseburgers and barbecue. You know, I mean. Because you can't do it without God. You can't. Nobody's going to get saved. No lives are going to change. We might get a little emotional. But when our feet hit the back door and we go home, it's done. See, I'm convinced if we're open-minded, we're suddenly blinded. People ask all the time. And you know, I guess I have young preachers call me now. Brother Rackley, I'm older than you, I know. I'm 47. You're a few years older than I am. Are you really? Are you 50 yet? Are you really? Man, he looks young. I mean, he does. Let's take up another love on for the preacher. Amen. You really are. So you're older than I am. Well, I'm a dog. Won't you listen to me? I have guys call sometime now, preachers, 30s, 20s, you know, and I almost don't want to talk to them because here's where they start. Brother Haslip, you've been in the ministry a long time now, and you're an older preacher, so I'd like you to give me some help. Right then, I cut them off, man. I'm like, I don't want to talk to you, you know. You're basically calling me old. But anyway, and they'll call me a whole lot of times, and here's what they battle with, young guys. They'll go in a church, and maybe somebody's been permissive or somebody's allowed it to get a little bit away from what it ought to be. They'll come in that church, and they'll come in like a bull in a china closet, and when it's done, man, there's glass everywhere, dead folks, you know. And you understand? So there's got to be a balance. I'm not going to get in my pulpit every week and blood on the wall and guts in the cracks. You know, I'm not going to do that every week. Sometimes you got to preach though, right? But I think there's got to be a good balance. I do. The reason I say that is this. I think we got to be a church is trying to build a new heritage or a new, writing a new book is better words. I get so tired of everybody shouting over what used to be. I mean, you know, I mean, I love reading about Dr. Percy Ray and those moves of God, and I love riding down the road and listening to the old Bright Spot Hour, and I love everything God did for Brother Seitler and God did for Brother Mays, and I love what God did in those old men of the past. I enjoy that. Ralph Sexton Sr. and all that crap used to ride through the hills not far from here and preach. I love all of that, but I didn't live then. Man, we don't need God 10 years ago, 100 years ago. We weren't tired. Honey, Lord, have mercy. I still believe it's the same God right now that it was then. And if God can do it then, God can do it now. Well, here's the deal. Yeah. Preacher, God called me to preach. One week after I got saved. Now, y'all can take that up with him. I don't know why. 1 week after I got saved. I got saved on a Sunday at a youth meeting. No, it was a regular service at my home church. Next Sunday, I stood in the choir for 30, 40 minutes. Didn't even know I was standing. And God called me to preach while I was standing there. Everybody else was listening to the preacher. I was standing in the choir. I didn't have no idea. God called me to preach. And I'll never forget this. I'll never forget it. After God called me to preach, I started in and pastored his church, and I got to preach on the radio, WPET in Greensboro, North Carolina, and they had a little cubicle thing. It wasn't too big, you know, had a mic, and you did, and you could do your broadcast live. So I enjoyed that, you know. And I'd get in there, you know, and it was an AM station. I don't know how many watts, but it probably went across Greensboro. But I'd always say hello world, you know. I mean, it was just unreal. And then it wasn't live internet and all that, you know. And I'll never forget, man, one day I was in there preaching. I done spit all over the glass. I done hit the mic 2 or 3 times. I was playing music from church. I was shouting over my own preaching. I was signing my own Bible. I was having a time. Amen. I mean, I was having a time, man. I got a phone call. You got to stand now. Here I am. Here I am. I've been preaching a while, about 20 years old. Here I am, an Iron Man. I'm ready to go at it. Got a phone call. Somebody want to talk to me on the broadcast. I thought, hallelujah. Everybody loves a preacher. Depends on what kind he is. Anyway, my teenager said, preacher, we love to hear you preach because we can understand you. You know what they're basically saying, right? I'm not too deep, all right? Now listen, I was in there preaching and his phone, I said, hello? Is this Brother Hazel? I can tell it was a preacher's voice because he sounded like Brother Rackley, you know? At that time, I was preaching like this. Take your Bible! All I knew was, buddy, listen, I wasn't no roller coaster preacher. You know how you ever got anything, kind of build, and then all of a sudden, boom, you know, it wasn't me. Praise God, I was a crock pot blowing the top, man. He boom, ready to go. Anyway, he said, Brother Hazel, I said, yes, sir. He said, I want to tell you, I'm liking that preaching. I thought, man, but you ever known when somebody says something to you, you know a butt's coming? I call it Billy Goat Christianity. I love you, bud. That's good church, bud. Oh, I knew it was coming. I didn't know what it was coming. I was young, I know. He said, he called me son, you know, and he probably should have. He's an older man, probably, I guess. I don't even know who he was. He helped me that day, though. He helped me never change. But here's what he said. He said, son, that's good preaching. And evidently, he'd been around it. But then he said, but, he said, I'm going to tell you, you'll never build a church in this day. Now, you got to understand, we got married in 84, so this would have been about 84, 85 in that area. We got married in 84. I've been 20. I was 19 when I married you, right? You were 14. But anyway, and he said, but you just can't build a church like that. Now, this is then. Imagine 1984. What would he say today? I got a question. What are y'all doing here? Why y'all, people's are hollering and spitting and singing and waving their hand. Why y'all doing, what are you doing in this? Don't y'all know it's 2012?
That's right.
Where's the dance team?
Not here.
Can I get a witness? I mean, where's Bozo the gospel clown? Huh? Where's old boy at with his earrings and long hair and his Stratocaster guitar and his jammed up pants? And where's he at? What are y'all doing here? Don't y'all realize you can't build a church in this day and time? We're preaching like this, or singing like this. I got news for you. Hey, if all I got's two squirrels sitting on a stump somewhere, I'd rather have church like this than I had with the wall. Hey, it's time to have revival. It's time to get stirred up. It's time to get on fire. Somebody shout amen. Let the devil and all the world know we're not ashamed of what we are. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm done. Now listen to me. No question, I don't have to preach to you, but you ought to have a good preacher. You got that. I don't have to preach to you that you ought to enjoy serving God and worship. I don't have to preach that here. No doubt. No doubt. But there's one thing I think I need to preach. And that's this. When somebody comes in and tries to take a sidetrack away from what the man of God preaches. About a year or so ago, I put a family out of my church. I told them, I said, you don't fit here. I said, you don't fit. You need to leave. He said, you're making me mad. I said, I'm sorry, but you need to leave. You don't fit. You're bringing in junk that don't belong. Now listen to me. Here's why we need these meetings. Here's why we need this invitation. I don't think people realize just how important it is. What was that statement I heard earlier? A brother made over here. What was that you said about, one of y'all said about church? You remember I asked you? Brother was testifying back here and he said something about He said something about church, about when you're not in it. Anyway, I wrote that statement down. That was a sermon. I don't get it, got away from him. Maybe he can remember it. But anyway, you come in here tonight. You've been around what you've been around. Somebody's been around a long time. You're raising your youngins around it. You understand? These little ones up here are growing up around it. Because you and I are going to go off the scene one day if Jesus don't come. Who's going to carry it on? I often wonder, has anybody got a little baby in here? Small child in here? Who's got a small little girl there? What's is that a little girl or a boy? I don't know. It's a girl. I thought, yeah, it'd probably be a girl. Let me ask you, an address would really make that difference too. Let me ask you a question. How old? I mean, we're talking about, 7.5 months. That's pretty new. Preacher, I wonder the time she's mine your age. Let's just say Jesus decides that Terry is coming. I don't think she'll have to worry about that, but let's say she does. Let's say 20 years.
Yeah.
I wonder what she has to go look for church one day.
My soul. Can't hardly find one now.
I just really wonder.
Good. Right.
That's why Jesus said, I like you past. I like your place. Don't get permissive. I'll make you a promise. I'll come and I'll fight against you. I'd rather have God for me. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we thank you tonight for the